Welcome to the Leadership Journal Out of Her podcast. I'm Sky Jatani, the managing editor of Leadership. With me this time is Marshall Shelley, the editor and editor-in-chief of Leadership and Leadership Media Group. And we're blessed to be joined by Alan Hirsch, who's on his way to Paris and then South Africa, and he's here via Australia and California, so you're definitely getting around. Alan is the author of The Forgotten Ways, a popular book that we've talked about before through our blog Out of Ur. He's written for us in a recent issue of Leadership Journal. He also co-authored the book The Shaping of Things to Come, Innovation and Mission for the 21st Century Church. He's a wonderful thinker around all things missional, and that's sort of where we want to kick off today with Alan. And well, first, welcome. Thank you for being a part of this.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be here.
Carving out your time for us. Let's begin with a basic question that's on a lot of people's minds. The word missional is being tossed around a lot with many different definitions. It's a popular word in book titles. It's all over ministry. What do you make, first of all, of the use of that word today, and how do you define it?
Yeah, the latest I heard, I had to have a snicker at it, but it's quite serious behind it, is that I heard someone teaching a missional course in Greek, and I think we've come to the point where we're going to have to kind of get some definition back on this term. I actually think it's a very critical term. I've been very tempted to post a blog on this very issue. Someone said to me recently, she was Ed Stetzer, he said, like, well, missional has become the new emerging, or the emergent, and I said, not on my shift. Not because it's anything against the emerging church to say I think there's a legitimate something going on there, but it's not the same as missional. In fact, I see it largely as a renewal movement, not a missionary movement. I think it's a very, very important issue to reclaim the term, because if we lose it, where do we go from there? You'd have to invent another term like that, but I think it loses. I think it's well worth fighting for, and I'm not sure if there's one that immediately steps into the gap. So, so if I have to give an attempt at a definition, I would say missional church is a church that takes its agenda from the mission of God in the world, and it defines itself or organizes itself around the mission of God. So. We don't take our mission is not a subset of ecclesiology or the doctrine of the church, as we've often let it be. It's really a subset of theology proper. It comes from within the being of God, and that we are really a result. We, the church, are the result of God's kind of activity in the world. So it's a really big concept, and I think it would be terrible to lose it.
What would be the difference from terminology that's common to our listeners and readers? What's the difference between being a missional church and being, say, a purpose-driven church or a seeker-driven church or some of those other popular terms? Is there a difference?
Let me add one more term that I think gives, for me and for the group I hang out with, particularly Forge, a very distinctive kind of ring to it. We kind of tend to combine it with missional incarnational, which kind of gives a further definition, because for me these follow the pattern of how God engages the world. So the Missio Dei is the first thing, so the mission of God, which is the sentness of all the people of God. We're all sent ones, and we're all missionaries. But how we engage the world patterns after the way that God engaged the world, most primarily in Jesus. That he comes among a people group, he lives 30 years in the neighborhood, surprisingly no one notices that the God of the universe is in the neighborhood. So it's kind of like the kind of the hiddenness of God and the humanity of God come to the fore. But when we begin to say, if we take our imagination from the incarnation, then we must become ourselves incarnational. In other words, it ought to inform our behaviors and our model and our engagement in the world. So when you join the two together, this is one way of maybe saving the term. You also give it further definition. So missional is the sentness, the outgoing kind of impulse, and then incarnational is the deepening or the embedding impulse. The two for us actually give a broader definition and probably a better working definition of how it should work. So when it combines with the way, like, if say a purpose-driven church, which when you begin to see how it operates, generally churches, the way we received it in the West has been, I've been partly responsible for the terms, I have to defend it, operating in an attractional mode. That is, the expectation is that we can reach into our culture and meaningfully bring people into our own context, that is the church, without them doing a culture gonna get culture shift. In other words, the church has a significant cultural reach, or is the gospel is meaningful to the larger groups within our reach, in our orbit. In a missionary context, when you bring people into church using attractional modes, outreach and indrag, we call it, then effectively you extract them from their previous kind of associations or their tribe or their groups, and therefore they socialized into the church, but they can no longer speak meaningfully to those outside of where they came from, actually, to the outside of the church. And so in the end, it's self-defeating, because if you operate attractionally within a missionary environment, you end up extracting people. Having said that, what I'm trying to get at here is that when I think we use the term missional, is that we're saying really that the church needs to adopt a missionary stance in relationship to its culture. Whether we're in the West or whether we're in cross-cultural mission overseas, it's all cross-cultural. There's no distinction any longer. We must treat our own environments, our own neighborhood, as being a cross-cultural missionary environment. We need to take their culture seriously. We plant churches among them. We don't always expect them to come to us.
Which Leslie Newbegin and others were,
of course,
major proponents of this.
Yeah, well, the missions in the West was really, his kind of catch cry, of course. And he came back from, years and years of involvement in India, and to see that actually the church, which claimed to be a Christian, the West that claimed to be a Christian culture, civilization, really was very pagan, and it needed to be missionized again. So, I think we really have to adopt that. So what we say in a very practical term to interns is to simply say, treat it as if your context is like subcultural Papua New Guinea. I mean, if you really had the time to do this or the inclination, you'd find that in youth subculture alone, there are different subcultures. Mm-hmm. At least 50. In any discernible kind of neighborhood, there would be 50 different subcultures around music or lifestyle or dress codes, or, you've got your surfers, you've got your skaters, you've got your computer nerds, you've got any, and they take their culture seriously. Even within youth subculture, when you go broaden that, we're very tribalized now, and we need to respect the tribes. But it's ascending. We go to them. We don't expect them to come to us. And I think that's the big shift that we have to make. Whereas I think purpose-driven churches operating under a attractional paradigm uses it to bolster the kind of numbers of church. I mean, no offense there, but it's the imagination of how we think of church that is the big issue here.
I don't know if you want to jump in here, Marshall, but if a church, most churches I would imagine in our context are more attractional, they're more institutional, because we haven't thought of ourselves as being on a mission field. If that awareness comes to a church that we need to change our posture, how does that start? What's the beginning? What are the first things? Now, you went through this in your own experience in Melbourne. What do you recommend being the initial steps a church should take to begin to shift their posture from a attractional grab and bring them into a sending Missio Dei kind of posture?
Oh, I think I hinted at one in saying that I think probably the first and foremost issue is to win the battle of the imagination, and in some senses to dethrone Constantine. I think we still operate largely from Constantinian understanding of the church, which identifies the church with the institution of the church. And I think that's a mistake. Although the church can inhabit and does inhabit various kind of institutions, it itself is actually something beyond the institution. It doesn't exist in the institution. I think we all know that theologically, but we really are captive to the, if I take the kind of the kind of jargon language away and say we are captive to the institutional idea of church, I think this is one of the biggest shifts, is to kind of dislodge the church, or kind of disembed the church from its institutional kind of understanding of itself. Allow it to roam a bit and to be free and to be fluid. And this is, I think, first of all, an issue of paradigm or imagination. So I think leaders need to deal, and it needs to be done in an existing church at top level. Leadership needs to really, really grapple with the paradigm shift that needs to take place. I think that any church, if you've got to be patient, I mean, because it ain't going to take place overnight, because the entrenched understanding is very deep. The defaults go very deep, and are theologized over 17 centuries of theology. It's very hard to question it, and we're held down to the line on it. So patience is important. I think there's got to be a political will to make a difference, because when I took a job with our denomination, my predecessor had been in the role for 33 years. And I was dreading it, to be honest. I was honored to be in the role, but it's kind of not the kind of thing that I would ordinarily have taken. I felt that God had kind of sent me to do it, and I'm glad I did. But he said to me, look, if you can't, what you're achieving, don't achieve in one decade, you'll get in the next. And I think, yeah, great, that's what I wanted to hear. and you know, I think as I get older, I think he's right. I think if you're going to deal with complex systems, you have to have a lot of patience. And you have to have the political will to see it through over a 10-year period. Because taking this approach means that some people are going to disagree. Power brokers, people who give money, will not like the way you're going. The missional church activates all the people of God. That means they got to, you know, they can't be consumers any longer. They have to, everyone has to become active in the role. Everyone's a missionary, you know. So some people resist this because they come to the church as a feeding trough. They come to get fed. They come basically as consumers. We're going to have to challenge that and become disciples.